Hello and welcome to Como Sustas, episode 3x4, probably. This is Cubs fan here. It's still Sunday for a couple more hours, for an hour, maybe 53 minutes. Not by the time this podcast, especially as long as this open is going. We're here after seeing shows on Saturday night and two on Sunday. I'm here with TKD,
Hello.
Cecilia,
Hola.
and Rob Viper.
Why do you sound so tired?
I sound like I have something in my throat.
You sound dead tired, as if you've been through like 6 or 7 hours of Lucha Stray.
Yeah, that's almost kind of what actually happened. We went to the Lucha Libre Boom Show on Saturday night in the Deporte Tali. We went to the Chilango Mask Show on Saturday in
Sunday?
Sunday in Colacao Square Garden. And we were able to make the IWRG show in Nacalpan on Sunday night. Did I black out and miss another show that you went, took us to?
No, I'm all for going to another show now, but unfortunately, there's nothing running.
No.
That's not to say we would have went somewhere yesterday if there was a show in the afternoon.
Yeah, we would have found someplace where I'm winding on my own days here, but I'm sure you're going to find a day with three shows and go through all three before long.
Well, we found a show. Next Saturday, you won't be here, so you can thank your lucky stars. But we're going to two shows at 4 and 7:30. But there is a show at 1. Black Terry Jr. saw the lineup and made a face like, oh God. So I don't think we're gonna head up and check out that one. But that one was headlined by like Zumbi and
Yeah, if you're on that show, you made the face like, oh God, what a great show. I have
yeah.
nothing against the show.
No, it's one of those street shows where, they're just there to make an appearance. It's not like you're gonna see great wrestling, so I think Black I think we've actually worn out Black Terry, if you can believe it, the guy who's going to shows almost every day. He's bailing on Puebla tomorrow, and he's not gonna even try to come to Arena Mexico on Tuesday.
Because he has some sense in his head.
Yeah, I don't blame him because I wouldn't be going to Arena Mexico Tuesday either if there was another option. But since that appears to be the only option, I will be circling the arena looking for people to talk with while the show goes on.
So you will be doing like Black Terry. Pretty much.
Pretty much, yes.
So you want the Saturday show was a little Libre Boom show. I think we all agree that was the least of the shows we've seen so far.
Yep.
I'm not sure about how much detail, if you want to go match by match quickly. Because the problem is also that not a single match on the card matched what was originally on the card.
The main event.
Oh,
Well,
yeah,
actually, no,
but
it
that
didn't. Match.
changed.
The main event didn't even match the card because Silver King wasn't there.
Silver King was there, but I mean, the CML guys were off, and the indie guys were randomly strewn around the undercard. But I mean, that's Mexico and indie shows for you.
Chico Chase showed up.
Yeah,
It's a
we got.
surprise.
That's some bonuses. I have the opener as Hijo de Fantasma de Opera, Super Pechugo, and I think it was Dragon Fantasma, maybe, versus Gio, the guy we saw on the DTU show in the opener.
Yeah.
Dragust, who was part of the Dementa Dorada group, and then Mini Hijo de Fantasma de Opera.
There were two of them?
There were two of them.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
They knew dance. They gave them away.
They had
They
the
didn't have
musical,
to.
note on the knee pad. Can you guess who runs this promotion based on having two different of his guys on the opener?
And he's the same guy who was selling tickets out of the back of a van parked outside of, not even a van, just a small car parked outside of the show with the big sign, Lucha Libre BOMM.
Yeah,
Bomb.
this is a very indie show. Do you want to describe the bathroom situation, Cecilia? How did that work?
Well, first of all, you have to pay 5 pesos. Okay, then you get a piece of some pieces of paper, and you go to the bathroom, and there are buckets of water, so you have to have the courtesy of cleaning up after yourself by throwing water, and then you use the same buckets to wash your hands, and there you go.
Yeah.
I don't think our friend Mark is listening to this podcast, but he's probably familiar with this by now.
Yeah. I mean, this is the. And that's not like an atypical situation. I mean, that's unusual, but the bathroom. There's stuff that goes on and is allowed on Mexican shows that probably would not be allowed on US shows.
This
Yeah.
one at least had water. I mean,
Yeah.
not running water, but they had
Water,
water.
yeah.
I never got to experience it.
No.
But in that opener, the second Phantasma you listed,
Yeah.
That was the guy who, or the kid, I guess, who went for a dive over the ring post.
Yeah.
And he took forever standing up there. Yes. And then he feigned like, I'm going to do a corkscrew. And then you can see he kind of had second thoughts in his head, like, I don't really have the guts for this. And by this point, like 10 seconds had passed and the crowd started to boo him because he was just standing up there. Yeah. So he just jumped and did a planche, and I forget who was catching him, but maybe his brother even. Whoever was catching him just lunged forward to save the kid's life. That's your typical unlisted indie opener for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't offensive, but it wasn't good.
No.
And that was match one of five where they ended up brawling into the crowd.
Yeah. I have the Hijos team winning, but it doesn't really matter. Second match was supposed to be Zona 23 versus Halcon 2000, Kid Jaguar, and Shadow. There was someone added to the Shadow team. I don't even remember who it was. I probably have a note someplace, but I can't have it. The Zona 23 team was Eptapo and Leviton from the Los Bastardos.
Mm-hmm.
Perico, who's sometimes a Puro, and the guy with XXX on his trunks that I thought was like, isn't there like a Brandon XX or somebody like that?
Yeah, but Noriko said it was like this other name.
Yeah. It was a guy.
It was a guy, yeah.
He wasn't... This was also a match that was very indie-rific. This was the only... Surprisingly, on the show with Pagano, this was the only light tee broken. It was broken at a completely random time, deep into the crowd, for no reason at all.
They got it from a fan, I guess.
Yeah.
And this also had a barbed wire bat being used for no reason.
Yeah.
More pointless crowd brawling. I think it was during this match where Noriko pointed out that the guy who was selling beer...
Mm.
Is the same guy who lost his mask in the IWRG Exoticos cage match.
Yeah, really hard times.
Yeah.
He fell apart.
He made one appearance. We've never heard of him before. And now he's selling beer.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even using his own gear on that IWRG show.
No. That was completely an up and up deal.
This match had a couple of big dives right in front of us. The aforementioned crowd brawling.
Yeah. It went on forever. I think that was the problem with the opening matches is that they really would have been fine 10 to 12 minutes and they went 20 minutes or whatever reason.
And
there were other matches that went way short.
Yeah.
And there was like no selling and no logic to anything. And it was the
best. It was Indie Lucha.
It was, yeah.
Well, what are you going to say? We were actually, it was kind of like, we remember 2 years ago? 2 years ago, we went to IWL, just like 5 minutes away from this.
And this is the spiritual successor to IWL.
Exactly. Thank God, though, IWL, when we went there, they had like 12 matches that night.
Yeah.
Tonight, we only had six.
This was IWL without money, is what this is.
Yeah. So there was no like pointless 14-man elimination.
Where Flamita was, we saw Flamita, and he was in
there. That's where we saw Flamita, and they put him in that ladder match.
Yes.
With like 12 other guys.
Were we in that match? Because it seemed like everyone was in that match.
Everybody, whoever entered the ring.
Yeah.
That match to me was the Big Brother match. You know, they ought to have cameras everywhere because it was happening all over the place, but you could not make any sense, you know.
Like, yeah.
But no matter where you looked, it was pretty bad.
We had Pentagon, the original Pentagon Espanto Jr. come to the ring to do his speech about how he almost died, but he didn't die, and he's a new man thanks to his religion and collected money. He was not selling his DVD of Great Matches, which was... I probably would have got that if he was actually there.
But I didn't mean to laugh. Sorry, everybody, if you believe in this stuff.
But it's a speech that he does like on many shows, so it was just...
And I've seen the same act in the U.S. I won't name by who.
Yeah.
But if my friend Rob is listening to this podcast, he's probably laughing right now because we've seen this.
The next match was turned out to be at Atomico's. It was... Guerrero WMC, who also goes by Ankla, because that's what he had on his shirt for whatever reason. Impulso Bilal of the Indy Strongables, and it wasn't any Aries, so Tornado.
Aries is out with a knee injury for a while.
Yeah, which was inevitable. So Tornado, who apparently lost his mask at some point, was the fourth guy.
You watched the Shilanga Mask show, right, from August 9th?
No.
You didn't watch it?
Not yet.
Oh.
I have this whole big thing of good indie lucha. Someone was supposed to make me a list of the indie matches I was supposed to go back and watch. And
are you referring to me?
Yes.
Oh. I told Randy to.
Oh, okay. Good delegating.
But if you've seen any of Iris' recent matches, he's basically quit, but he's had to leave early in all of them because his knee, he's had knee problems.
Yeah, so it is also because we saw people on the show with obvious injuries that they're working through, so it must be pretty bad for him not to even try.
He looked in pretty bad shape on that Chilanga Mash show.
That foursome face Freelance, Pantera Uno, who's not dead, Suicida, and Chico Che. And this was a good match in parts. There were some parts where it seemed like they had moves weren't going too well.
The best part was right away at the beginning, because Pentagon was still at ringside collecting the change.
Yes.
Right in front of us. And then they set up this big, this huge triple dive right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And the people getting the change from Pentagon had to point out, dude, you should turn around and get out of the way. Mm-hmm. So he got out of the way. They did their dives, almost took out the guardrail. But Pentagon was going to get that money that was being given to him, and he mm-hmm. came right back to get it.
I think I was like half asleep during the first half of this card, and this kind of woke me up at some point. I know Chico Che did very good Chico Che stuff.
Yeah, very good. He's an awesome live performer.
We didn't get to see as much of Bilal and Pulso as I was hoping.
They were the base for Freelance and Mikey.
Yeah, they kind of worked it as with the that group of guys, the Impulso group, working more of the Rudos instead of doing a technical match.
I was going to say I haven't seen Chico Che in a while, so that was a nice seeing a guy with seeing him, especially as a fat guy with a lot of agility, just do his stuff. So. And it's really the second. I like the second match, but this was the first like match. Probably the best match of the night for me. So.
And we're not fat shaming him by calling him fat. He admitted there was some fan that was heckling him, and you guys remember that. And he yelled back, "At least I'm good looking fat." to the guy in the crowd who was heckling him. It was a good match. They did the usual dives you all wanted. Freelance and Asai Moonsault took Impulso and himself over the guardrail. Yes. They did that Fuego Stuka spot where Stuka goes for an Asai moonsault.
Yeah.
But instead, Pantera went for the Asai moonsault, and Chico Che somehow fit through his legs.
Yes. That was taking a risk.
And then Pantera did an Asai moonsault, and the finish, Belial did the top rope Falcon Arrow, only got a two. And then, who pinned it? Mike Segura used the Skyde special to pin him.
Yeah.
But a different version of the Skyde special. And this match got money.
Yeah.
Deserved.
I think I agree that this was the best match on the show.
Yes.
Well, I don't think there was even a second good match on the show.
No. There were parts of other matches that were good, but they didn't hold together. The fourth match was a four-way tag match. Mm-hmm. It was Ovette and Angel Odimino versus Cerebro Negro and Kurt Brava as La Secta Negra, because Fantasma was busy being ring announcer, so he didn't wrestle on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Violento Jack and Arrow Boy, and
replacing Puma and Tiger.
And replacing Puma and Tiger was
Ninja. Oh wait, this is the wrong match. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, sorry. Ninja the Furgo, and who is this partner? Just to read my notes. It was.
We should know this. It's the stupid guy. What do you call him? Carto Brava, the original.
Yeah, original Carto. No, he was with Cerebro.
So who's with, let me see your notes and I'll tell you.
Wait a minute. Stall for a second here.
No, I'll look at your notes and I'll figure it out.
Oh, it was Loco Max. It was Loco Max. Seems Loco like Max. He's been into a, been spent the last 3 years, like, just beating up people for money. He looks like a very hard man now.
He's had a career.
Yeah. And he was eventually the one who took the pin in this.
Did he even get in the ring?
Yeah, because he took the pinfall.
Oh.
But he was not a big part of his match. Cerebro beat him with the Cerebro driver for the win.
Oh, right.
Violento Jack and Arrow Boy had a much easier night than we saw them in DTU.
For sure.
We may have seen a person who looked like Violento Jack with his mask off. And I think his mask counts because he looks like a different guy with his mask off. So that debate, if his mask is a real mask, that counts. Yes.
They followed us around the week, right? Because we saw him Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
But now we're not going to see them anymore.
They didn't have their cool music this time. This music was just whatever
a
Phantasma felt like playing that moment. I think you liked Ovette in that match. There were parts of the match that were good.
That's my favorite fat guy wrestler.
We were confused that it wasn't an elimination match, as you would expect with four teams.
Mm.
But it was kind of a match.
It's better that it wasn't elimination, because everything was dragging by this point. I mean, we didn't even mention it, but the show did not start at 8 o'clock as advertised. It started close to 9 o'clock. By 8:30, they were still setting up the ring. And then this match was okay. I liked Ovette, because Ovette, even though I saw it in the DTU show, it was cool to see it again. He did the 619. Like we said, the Mexican... What great Arrow Boy in?
Sorry?
Arrow Boy and Violent Jack called himself... Oh, the Compadres.
Extremos.
Extremos, yeah. they weren't so extreme tonight. They wrestled a pretty safe, you know, usual style to fit in with the rest of the guys. Ninja de Fuego didn't do anything. I mean, there were a couple dives in the match, but nothing memorable. And then, like Cub said, the finish was Cerebro Negro doing his finisher on Loco Max, the Kryptonite Crunch deal.
Yeah, and this had more crowd bawling too. And,
of course, every match into the crowd. God forbid. You know?
Yeah, and for me, this was one where the crowd bawling just started to get so out of hand, where you can't follow what there's actual stuff happening in the ring that's possibly interesting, and there's two other teams bawling out in the crowd. So what do you pay attention to? Keep in mind, this is not in a, this is in a large gymnasium, so it's not like a tiny arena or like a field the size of Corcel Coracalco where you can actually see everything. Yeah.
This was like a small junior high gym.
Yeah. What did we have the attendance, like 250?
Yeah, 250, somewhere around there, maybe a little higher. But
for a show with Park and Wagner, I expected a higher turnout, but...
And they were definitely the draws, even though they had all the other indie names.
Yeah, it was everybody came for Park Wagner. Well, not us, but...
Okay, Anton, the semifinal was supposed to be a three-way tag match, but we had one team that made it as originally scheduled, as Traumas, versus Golden Magic and Imperio Negro. Imperio Test. And who were replacing Puma and Tiger, which is sort of a big disappointment. And Mete Leon replacing Crazy Boy and teaming up Pesadilla. This one, Golden Magic looked great. His partner really, really struggled. I've seen him on TV and he's looked better than this, but he was botching things left and right. I don't know what the deal was there. Mete Leon didn't really get to do as much as he's got to do in IWRG either. This was one of the shorter matches on the show, and it was like they were happy to get their dude what they need to do to get the match in, and Magic did a few good moves, and then they got out of there.
Yeah, I was actually worried for Emperador Azteca's life at one point because he blew two spots in a row with Trauma. Oh,
yeah, he was so mad.
And you could see Trauma was really agitated, but I think he just looked around and was like, I'm not going to kill this guy on a show in front of only like 200 people who are waiting to see Wagner Parka. So he just went on with the match. But Golden Magic looked really good. At one point, he did a dive over the ring post after he backflipped off the ropes to fake out one of the Traumas. All his stuff looked really good. Can't say much for... I mean, the Traumas were just there. And then
And they won, because it was Golden Magic.
They won. I mean, Pesadilla got hurt early in the match, and then he stayed on the floor.
Yeah.
And Meta Leon screwed up a couple spots, but I don't know if it was much him screwing up as the people who were catching him. Mm. And what else can you say? I mean...
Yeah, the only thing that stands out in my mind from this match is Emperor Azteca just having a very bad night. And I don't... about 24 hours later, I don't remember much anything else from this. Oh, Golden Magic having a good night. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think Emperor Azteca being as still... Because I've seen Emperor Azteca in other matches and... He's nowhere near as bad as he was, so it seemed like really out of line for him. So
it was a team of yin and yang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
And then that took us to our main event, where Dr. Wagner was announced like 8 times before he ended up coming out.
It was really dumb, right? Because doing the announcing was Phantasma, right?
Yeah.
You would think he would know that on the team, Dr. Wagner is not going to come out first before like Silver King Jr. So why would you announce Dr. Wagner Jr.?
No.
Really, like, weird. And then it took forever for them to finally figure out the order of who's coming out.
Yeah.
And then the first guy who came out walked straight directly towards...
Towards you.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you.
God, if you weren't insufferable enough already, that's
right. Not only is Rob right, Rob is popular.
Rob's over.
Yes.
I hope Rob's over soon.
This is going to be too much of an ego.
That's our take from that show. Rob is over.
Yeah, Silver King Jr. came up.
Silver King Jr.
Very
really,
nice guy, considering I'm meeting him for the first time ever.
He really got himself in good shape. He almost looked like a new man.
Yeah. He walked right up to me. I think he's trying to get over with the internet crowd.
Yeah.
I don't know how the internet crowd's going to feel about him, but he's trying to get over with the internet crowd.
So the actual match was Dr. Wagner, Silver King Jr., and Pagano versus...
Yay! Our third... Was it third show with Pagano?
They blend together with Pagano.
Wait a minute. Where did we go on Thursday? Where did we go on Thursday?
We went to DTU and he was
not
there.
No Pagano. So second... He was at Arena Mexico. That's why. He just didn't get in.
Yeah.
but
they have a sign outside. No Pagano.
Yeah, no, he did. Luckily, he didn't do anything in this match. But yeah, it was him, and then the other team was...
It was Nicho. It was L.A. Park, and Hijo de L.A. Park. Hijo de L.A. Park was just, like, awful in this match. He had one good chop, but he was botching a lot of stuff. And then he did the big dive that he crashed and burned on the
barricade. I thought he was great.
No.
No, really. I thought he was great.
I swear I remember him just blowing stuff at odd times.
He had a nice little sequence in the second fall where Silver King Jr. was really like helping him go through the spots. I mean, maybe it was more Silver King Jr., but Park nailed it. Remember he did the run up the ropes, jumped into a Frankensteiner on Silver King Jr., then he did the satellite head scissor side deal.
Maybe he was worse when he's working with other people on that team.
Apparently, the end, when he dove onto his own head, it was his own fault, so...
Yeah.
But I got good video of that. Can't wait to put that on Instagram.
That was a three falls match.
Long three falls match. Holy. It was just Wagner Parka. It was like a singles match with Wagner Parka.
Yeah.
And the other guys just, when it was their cue, they did the finish.
When they went out to the brawl in the ring, the other four guys wisely just kind of stood in the ring and did about enough, just enough to make you remember they're still in the match, but that's not about it.
They did have the cool finish at the end of the first fall where when La Parka's kid did the crucifix into a head scissors takedown on Silver King Jr., like a cool version of the Canadian Destroyer. And then most of the crowd was just Park and Wagner brawling in the crowd all over the place. The crowd loved it, don't get me wrong, but I've seen it a million times. The other guys were just standing around. Even like Pagano, who you thought would do something stupid, just decided, no, I'm not doing anything tonight, and stood around with Nicho.
They tried to do stuff at the very end, and Nicho took himself out with us at Pescado.
We went with Daniel, who makes the custom figures, who lives in Monterey, and he was telling me, like, during the match, we were talking about how Ray Jr. and Nicho and Sikosis used to be our favorite guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I used to watch their matches, blah, blah, blah. They were my first ever favorite lucha match. He goes, it's too bad that Nicho doesn't have knees anymore. And lo and behold, what happened in the third fall?
He tried to jump, and it did not end well for him.
No, he like went for a pescado and couldn't even clear the ropes. Fell down hard on the apron, and they took him to the back.
Yeah. The finish was supposed to be Park pulling Wagner's mask off to cradle him, but Park could not get the mask off, so he just kind of pulled the mask while he was in a small package. They did the same Park speech we heard at Carol Lucha before the show, and Wagner did his speech, and then they did the same challenges afterwards, if I remember right.
They cut the mic on them, though.
Yeah, well.
They knew where they were headed, and the promoter was like, no.
Yeah.
But also, before the match, Park did his, before they cut my mic, and then he held out the mic, and this was a crowd who clearly wasn't inside, so to speak, so they didn't get it. So he did it again, before they cut my mic, and he said it himself. Chinga tu madre.
Yeah, I think that the crowd did not like Wagner at all.
No, they don't. They were definitely on Park's side.
Yeah. It was not like you would expect like 50-50 so that he would have some...
They were like, fuck Wagner. Yeah. They were holding up the middle finger. He was playing back. He pretended like he was jerking off onto them at one point, which was fantastic.
Oh, no. It was horrible.
Yeah.
There were children in the...
I wouldn't have minded it so much, except it was in our direction. Mm. The other way, Wagner. The other way. Mm.
At one point, as I tweeted, between the fans and Wagner and Ilya Park, there's probably at least one obscenity per second during the match.
It was that type of crowd. It was that type of crowd.
Yeah. So.
Overall, like Cub said, the weakest show we've been to so far, but it was something to do on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
The whole goal here was to just see Lucha Libre, so...
We saw some Lucha Libre. We got to see some people.
We did.
The first show we went to today was the Chulang Mask show. It was... Was it Churro...
Churro Bill.
Churro Bill, because playoff of Kill Bill. We had six singles matches.
That's why they had the... When they jumped into the ring to take a picture with Ultimo Guerrero, it had a big Churro Bill thing.
Yeah. So, six singles matches. I think most of them were pretty good. I mean, there was no horrible match or at least one that was kind of boring. But
it was a boring match, but it wasn't a bad match.
Yeah.
But the other five I liked a lot, some more than others.
The opener was Gurobo.
Before you were saying it.
Yeah.
The big news, if you follow this podcast religiously, like I'm sure three of you do, according to Cubs, they have doors on the bathroom at Coacalco now.
Yeah.
So there's still only one. It's two porta potties, one for men, one for women.
Yeah.
But now they have doors instead of just curtains where you have to hold the curtain up yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very advanced.
Yeah.
When I was there in July, they had the doors.
Oh.
So,
The dogs don't mind, you know. They're
you still have to fight the dogs,
yeah.
But
yeah.
At least there's a door now. So the dog doesn't just stare at you angrily while you're doing your business.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many people you think were there? I think we counted like
150-ish. It was not the sellout I thought it would be because it was a really good lineup, but they sold.
They were coming back 2 weeks later. That's the thing, but.
But it was still a good show.
Oh, yeah. It was. I mean, the crowd made enough noise. They made more noise than the night before.
Yeah.
And they made more noise than DTU, which had more people.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think when I was there in July, there was probably slightly more people and then for the July 19th show.
Yeah.
But it was a slightly late coming crowd, too, because when we got there, there was almost no one there. Still, so
yeah. Mexico people show starts at 2:00. People are still filing in at like 2:30.
Yeah, this one started late too, but it didn't really end up.
But we were having fun because we had so many people there. We wanted to talk with and meet.
Yeah. It seems like if you go to enough shows, everyone knows everyone else. They might not like everyone else, but they know everyone else.
Yeah. First match was
Aramis versus Gravel Punk. Gravel Punk was on the we're in the pond trolling match show, and
there
he really
four-way cluster.
Yeah, and he didn't really impress me that much, but he was really good here.
Thought you said you didn't see the show.
I saw that show. I just haven't put the recap up.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I asked you if Aris was.
That's right.
He was in that match. That's
yes,
he
was. Yes, that's right. I did see that. And yeah, because he just got eliminated off screen.
Yeah, he just left the match. There was another match too. I can't remember which one it was, but it was one of Black Terry's handhelds where he just ended up leaving too.
So, this was one where they were trying to kill each other to get it over with the crowd, and they got over with the crowd, and they didn't
got
die.
Over with at least one person in the crowd.
Yeah. You really like this match.
Really?
I like this match, too.
They're also trying to kill our seats. And by our seats, I mean the seats where specifically me and Cecilia were sitting.
Yeah.
I don't want to call anybody out, but I have a strange feeling somebody told them exactly which side to do all their stuff to.
Yeah.
Because they didn't even hesitate to come. Like, they did, at one point, four moves to the floor in a row, and all right in front of us.
Yeah.
I mean, we were good, actually. I mean, we both sat there for, like, three of them, but one of them we moved out of the way.
Yeah, just one. We had to move
the Death Valley.
One of them.
Yeah.
First, they did the Tope Suicida.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we were just getting back into our seats, Aramis did a somersault, which almost killed Randy.
Yeah.
And then we did the Randy TKD Sabres. And then...
I don't mind that.
You don't mind that anymore?
Well, I... it's been said enough, so.
And then they did a tease of a Spanish fly off the apron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if they would have done that, I would have just picked up my stuff and left, because there's nothing that would have topped that the rest of the night.
Yeah.
But instead, they did a Spanish fly Oni, I put that in quotation marks, on the floor, which was pretty crazy, considering not more than like 2 minutes earlier, remember in the ring, they did the standing Spanish fly. And Garabo Punk barely tucked his head.
Yeah.
That match could have been over like 2 minutes in. Pretty scary. And then just when you think, oh, they're done, they just wanted to get their big spots out of the way. He gave Garabo Punk, gave Aramis, he like did a headstand on the apron, caught him coming down in Death Valley Driver position. And then thankfully he told us to move and did a Death Valley Driver into all the chairs at ringside. Just amazing spots. And since I'm a high spot mark, obviously this was my favorite match of the night. I know people laugh at me for saying that, but this match was just like nuts. They went back in the ring and did a bunch of cool stuff too. They did a Canadian Destroyer off the top rope for the finish. Aramis went over a Garabo Punk, and we had our first of four matches that got money, I believe.
Because
there were only the Solar Fuego match. Actually, that got money too.
Yeah.
The Ultimo Ninja match didn't get money, and
and surprisingly, Orders and Kamitachi.
I think because everybody was just getting out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah, this match got a bunch of money thrown in. I threw a bunch of money because these guys deserved it. If you saw the sickening land, well, you will. I'm going to upload video. On the ground in Coacalco, which is actual ground. I don't know why they would take these bumps. But a very good match. What do you guys think?
With bottle caps. It's dirt and bottle caps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard. I liked it very, very much. It raised the bar for all the upcoming matches, and both guys looked amazing.
Yeah, it was a really strong way to start the show, and I'm hesitating because I'm now trying to decide myself whether I like the first match of the show better or the last match, and it's pretty close, but I guess this is my second favorite show of the night, second favorite match of that show, and obviously, we had to make our seats every like minute, so but it was fun, a lot of fun, and if you like dives, you'll like this.
Who doesn't like dives? You should be listening to this podcast if you don't like dives, Dylan. Second match
turned out to be Singer Asako versus Cerebro Negro. Cerebro Negro got the upset.
No, Dr. Cerebro.
Dr. Cerebro. I'm getting my Cerebros confused. Dr. Cerebro seemed like he took like 70-75% of this match. Singer Asako did not do his usual drop kicks.
Yes.
But he didn't do a whole lot in this match. I think the highlight for Singer Asako is that he pulled up in a car that has his mask logo on the hood.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's the Day of the Dead mask too, with the, you know, this half zombie. So that was pretty impressive.
Meanwhile, Ultimo Guerrero pulled up in a blue Mustang.
Yes.
A blue Mustang in that area of town is pretty gutsy.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to mess with Guerrero, though.
But it was, I thought this was an okay to good match. I really didn't get into Singer Azteca that much in the match. I think it was Cerebro doing stuff around him. What do you think?
It was good. I liked it. I agree with you about who got the most majority of the match. Sangre Azteca went old school with countered plancha with his flying dropkick, or his patadas, if you will.
Yeah.
And he did, he did the swinging DDT off the ropes, which he rarely does. I was just happy he didn't do the stupid dropkicks or whatever. He even took it to the mat with Cerebro earlier on, which was cool.
Yeah.
For me, this is like a throwback because some of the earliest Lucha magazines I got were back in the days when both Sangre Azteca and Dr. Cerebro were rookies in Arena Naucalpan. And they were working for what was known at the time as Grupo Revolucion. So it was fun seeing them after all these years. Even somebody was saying that Sangre Azteca, it was Anna, who was saying that he was happy to be reunited with Dr. Cerebro and getting to wrestle him again. And it was okay. Overall, it'd probably be the second weakest match of the night for me.
Yeah, I'd say so. What'd you guys think?
It was a good match. It didn't really stand out, but it wasn't offensive by any means. It's actually fun seeing Sangre Azteca do actual mat work and not the five, as you said, the five drop kicks he always has to do in every Arena Mexico match. So it was fun, and the DDT spot I really liked too.
They threw money after this match too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think mostly for Cerebro, but I guess you have to split it.
Yeah.
No, I think they...
They were flipping for
the... The coin, and Sangre Azteca lost, and he was like...
The third match was Caifan versus Ultimo Guerrero, because Ultimo Guerrero had to get to Arena Mexico.
We found out after the match.
Yeah, and they said, please stop asking for photos, he's got to go.
He has a compromiso in Arena Mexico. As if the fans in Coacalco actually give two shits about him getting to Arena Mexico.
No. They care about getting their photos or bringing in their big artwork of Ultimo Guerrero.
What I want to know is, because we're watching the show, so we don't get to see this. You think he just put his clothes on over his gear and went? Or did he take off his gear, get his clothes, go, and then change again in Arena Mexico?
Last year.
Because he had time.
Last year when we went to Arena Coliseo, he definitely left in his gear.
Because he went out the front door. But that was more of a... It was already like 7:30 and he had like an 8 p.m. That's when the main event hits the ring. Here, it was like, I think, 3:30-ish, and the Reign of Mexico show didn't start till 5.
And he's also wrestling in dirt, and Coacalco's not the nicest place. This was, if you like the chop fight from their tag match in El Capellan, this had that times 10 in the middle of the match, where they just killed each other around the ring for about 2 minutes. They had good wrestling too, but that's what the standout was in this match.
You could tell that's what the crowd wanted, because as they were doing the mat work, somebody yelled out "raquetazos," which basically means chops. So they clearly had it in mind they were going to get to it. It was just a matter of when. They did a lot of mat work, which was actually, I really enjoyed that. That was good.
Yeah.
And the crowd appreciated it.
Of all the mat work parts of the show, I think that was the best mat work.
Do you think that, because Guerrero, people say he's not cooperating, but I think that's his style.
Yeah.
Like at one point, Caifan slammed him and was going to the top rope. And usually you wait till the guy gets on the top rope or the second turnbuckle. If you're going to counter it, then you jump up and pull him down. Guerrero just like stuck out his hand and pulled him off the first turnbuckle before he could even get a foot up there.
Yeah.
And then gave him the death look. Like, you really think I'm going to go for that?
Yeah.
I really like when Guerrero, I think Guerrero, do you agree with me? He looks like he's happy working this style sometimes.
Yeah, I think he likes the different change of pace. I think he likes Kafan, but does not want to show in the matches that doesn't work. The matches that he just he dismisses Kafan and he's not on his level.
I think you'd agree that he would do this style in Arena Mexico if he could, but he knows that the type of crowd they have there wouldn't put up with it.
Yeah.
Like you saw how they reacted to Dark Angel and Princesa Suhei taking it slow.
Well, they every match that started off slow, that they were right on them.
These guys took it really slow before they got into the chop battle, and the chop battle lasted... Somebody counted it, all the chops. I didn't count it, but it was definitely more than 2 minutes of just like gunshot style chops and slaps. And they I thought they were gonna do the full circle around the ring, but they only did the half circle. Well, most of it was right in front of our section.
Yeah.
Vicious.
They left some imprints on them. The finish was Ultimo Guerrero submitting Kafan to the Popol Guerrero, and then submitting him again, and then submitting him again. The referee was just. He single submission, and then he let the match keep going, and he did it twice before they finally gave up. It seemed like they were building a spot to Kafan to get to the ropes, but...
Definitely, because then Guerrero like switched his hand positioning on the third submission. The whole idea was he wasn't going to give up, and just as he was going to get to the ropes, Guerrero was going to trap his other arm, so he had no rope to grab.
Yeah.
But the referee screwed it up by calling the submission immediately.
Yeah.
I thought Kafan looked good. These guys got a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I would love to see a rematch between the two, actually. Maybe in Monterrey if Chilanga Mask ever goes back there.
Maybe.
Because then the reactions would be opposite, I would think.
Maybe if Kafan ever trains with Archangel, he'll make it to CMLL.
Maybe one day, yeah. What do you guys think?
Yeah, this was... I really love the mat work in this one. And if you like mat work style matches, you'll definitely want to see this. And I agree with the point of... I think Ultimo Guerrero really likes working these style matches because... I've seen him not only this, but also a couple months ago in Lucha Mutante working against Black Terry Sr. That was another really good mat work style match. And they didn't go into those traditional spots until like the last like minute and a half of that match. So, but going back to this one, it was a real fun match if you like mat work, and I do. So,
what do you think, Celia?
I loved it. It was very good. It was a fun match, and Ultimo Guerrero did things that he normally doesn't do.
Mm-hmm. The fourth match was
again as Ultimo Guerrero was still getting pestered for autographs, which is why they needed to make that announcement.
It was Hector Cerrero versus Ultimo Ninja. What do I remember? I remember we didn't get Kanjiro, but we did get the reverse monkey flip, which looked really good.
Yeah.
Hector Cerrero did a lot of taunting. Yeah, I think it was a good match, but I don't remember many of the details.
Ultimo, Hector Cerrero, they started on the mat, like all matches tonight started, basically. It was okay. Hector Cerrero was clearly leading Ultimo Ninja through a bunch of the stuff. When Ultimo Ninja started to come back, he did a moonsault press off the top, he did a cool arm drag. He did the same dive he did at Cara Lucha, which is the running twisting dive. But this time there was actually a third rope there, so it looked more impressive. And Hechicero went for his spot where he whips the guy, Ultimo Ninja, to the ropes. Ultimo Ninja rolls back. And usually Hechicero runs to the ropes, stands on the second rope, and does a drop kick. But these ropes, he could clearly tell, weren't going to work. So he just did a regular drop kick. But then it surprised me because then a second later, he went up top and did his double moonsault off the second and the top, even with the shaky ropes.
Yeah, we should mention that bottom rope was like completely loose the whole show.
They probably told the wrestlers, like, stay away from anything with the bottom rope.
Yeah, and the other ropes seemed like they got looser as the show went on.
Yeah.
And there were storm clouds coming, which really scared me because if it rains in Coacalco, it really affects the matches.
Yeah, they've put some, since we were there last year, but you guys saw it before, that they have the... They have more covering over the arena now.
No, they didn't have the tarp, you said, because that's why you wanted sunscreen.
Yeah.
I don't remember going back that far. When I was there in Dry, I was in the back part. So I don't... But, the one thing that hasn't changed in all the times we've been to Coors Hill, Coacalco, is that the canopy, the metal canopy, is very leaky.
Yeah, so if it did rain, that was going to affect the matches, but we escaped that. It never did rain on the day.
Yeah.
And the finish... Sorry, go ahead.
No, thankfully it didn't rain.
No, yeah. And the finish of the match was the ghost... Mad Scientist Bomb.
Yes.
I was about to say Ghost Shadow. Ghost Shadow, random obscure indie reference from the U.S. He hit him with the Mad Scientist Bomb. Looked really cool. And the crowd seemed kind of surprised by the finish, I thought.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a huge reaction, but I thought it was a good match.
Yeah.
I thought that it had trouble following Ultimo Guerrero and Kai Fan because that was so the crowd against each other, cheering for Guerrero, cheering for Kai Fan, whereas here, nobody really knew Ultimo Ninja except the one girl sitting behind us who only came for that match. Mm. So I'm just going to presume was his girlfriend or a good friend of his.
Yeah.
And she kept screaming, Ninja, Ninja. So people kept making fun of him by chanting Niña, Niña. Because Ninja, if you say it, if you're Spanish, sounds like Niña.
Yeah.
And afterwards, we got a chance, or I got a chance to go take a picture with Hechicero and talk to him for a couple seconds because he was being mobbed. So I missed the beginning of the next match,
which
bled into the exits of the fourth match.
What did you guys think of this match?
I liked it. I think that as you mentioned, Hechicero pulled, you know, most of it. He's really...
One thing
I couldn't even hear you just talking now. How could the podcast people have heard?
I'm sorry.
Loud. Be like you're a wrestler.
Insert just swearing randomly.
Yeah, go ahead. Getting Cecilia to swear is an impossible.
Yeah. TKD, what did you think about the match?
So it was a good match. I put it on the high end of a good range. The interesting thing is H2 definitely knew where he was working, and so like there was some point at the match where he would just start swearing at Ultimo Ninjas, which obviously you can't hear in random Mexico, and I don't think you would even hear in a lot of other indie venues. One spot that sticks out in my mind is when he was starting to do a tapatia, he said something to the effect of learn this well, Gabon.
Yeah.
And then there's the tapatia, and after which Ultimo Ninja promptly proceeds to do his own tapatia, so that was kind of neat. It was a fun match. Probably I'd say definitely not as good as Ultimo Guerrero versus Kai Fan, but it's definitely worth watching. And I love the finish, by the way, because I didn't see it. I don't think I saw it coming until because it hasn't done that a whole lot recently. Maybe done it once or twice, but it took me a second when he was doing the wheelbarrow walk to figure out, oh, that's probably coming. So that was nice.
I think the last time I saw him do it was a couple weeks ago in the... Actually, 2 weeks ago on the... No, last week in Reign of Mexico, when that good match with Cavernario and Negro Casas.
Okay.
I think. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. I know I saw it recently at some point.
I've seen it recently, too, but it hasn't been...
Never live. So this was both our first time seeing it live.
Okay.
It looks fantastic live.
Yeah, it does.
Next up was...
Was the Solar versus Fugo match. This match kind of dragged. Solar was just going to do his match, and Fugo... could not keep up with him with different enough holds to make it interesting, to make it competitive.
He definitely ran out of holds.
And Solar also kind of paused the match every couple of minutes, especially early on, to just kind of play up to the crowd. You could tell he really wanted them to throw in money or to buy a t-shirt after the match was over. And the crowd was just not that much into it. I mean, they did throw in money because I think that's what you're supposed to do at a Solar match. But there's... If you like Solar, there's far better matches I think you could see him in.
You just described exactly like when I was at Bola, like with Alfredo. Alfredo from Monterrey was telling me that now Solar and Negro Navarro, when they do their matches, you might as well just put the money in the ring before the match because no matter what they do, they expect the money to be thrown and they're going to get it one way or the other.
Yeah.
Either they're going to get it by having a good match or they're going to beg for it. And Solar, my impression of this match was put on a move, let go. Solar gets up, tells the crowd, you are my paisanos.
Mm-hmm.
This is wrestling.
Yeah.
Franco doesn't move. Solar counters it. Gets up. Hey, I like this section of the crowd. You are my friends. Yay, this is how wrestling should be.
Yeah, and
Over and over, it was so annoying.
For all explaining to the crowd started cheering Fuga louder. I think it's a trolling move as much as anything.
Yeah, if Solar was going Rudo, it was genius.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was.
Yeah.
It was, and then it went, you could tell Fuego was out of moves because at one point he slammed Solar, stood there, covered him, got a two, got up, stood there, didn't know what to do, ran both ropes, kind of like he's the Ultimate Warrior, and then just dropped an elbow, which I've never seen him do before.
Yeah.
And he got it. And the thing is, this is one of my pet peeves too, is every pinfall he attempted was like a 2.99999 count. So I would kick out at the last second.
Mm.
But you're supposed to only do those on the big moves.
Mm, yeah.
When the guy drops an elbow on you, and it looks like the weakest elbow, you should not be lying there and doing a last second kick out, because it's just preposterous. And eventually Solar won with some wacky hold and got the money he wanted. So congratulations. But for me, this was the weakest match on the show. It wasn't that it was a bad match. It was an average match. It was just very boring.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It dragged on. And you could very really tell, like, Fuego was overmatched in technically. And just it didn't seem to... Ultimo Guerrero and Kai Fan, their mat work was nice and crisp. And,
even.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and same thing, Ultimo Ninja versus HTO, their mat work was nice. And it actually was, not just hold, release, hold. There was some nice counters in there too.
That's the problem a lot of people have with Solar matches.
Yeah.
It's just move, let go, like him and Navarro. Yes. It's just an exhibition.
Yeah, and this...
I don't think Fuego's used to doing an exhibition.
No, they're different. They're better Solar matches and they're better Fuego matches.
Definitely.
But it
was a good idea in theory to see, you know, the young guy against the older veteran, see if he could keep up. Just, you never know if it's going to work until it happens, and I don't think it worked.
It did not, I don't think.
So moving on to the main event, because that's all we have left, right? I'm not appearing.
That's
it. Is Ray Horse versus Kama Tiachi. Horse was in town for like all weekend for... Sport. This is the only match we saw or knew of him in, which was...
I'm disappointed. Yeah, he said he came with the Familia de Tijuana, and they were here for a while, so...
I wonder
why he didn't work more shows.
Because he was really great in this match. Kama Tiachi did not take a step down because it was a small show. He was doing all his huge moves that he could do without a ramp, and he was... And they were just... They were killing each other in the dirt outside the ring as much as in the ring. But they did a lot of great spots.
And they didn't start slow. This was the only match that didn't start slow. They started right away. They went after each other.
Yeah, because that's the only way, Kamatishi knows how to do it. You just run and kick a guy in the face and start the match.
Pretty much.
What were your favorite spots from this match?
I got to see Ray Horace do his move where he jumps from the second rope to the top rope and does an arm drag. Kamaitachi did a lot of stuff. Like he did if you watched the title match with Dragon Lee, he did that new move he's doing where he spears the guy off the apron. And Ray Horace went flying right into our friend Arissa's lap because she decided, I'm not going to move, even though she saw the rest of us running for our lives. Kamaitachi did a drop kick off the apron and just destroyed Ray Horace, sent him flying. And in the process, took a bump on his tailbone on the floor, the concrete, which seems really like a bad idea. He did a plancha off the top where, when you catch a plancha, it's supposed to be chest-on-chest contact, and he caught Ray Horse's chest with like his knees, so it looked like he face planted into the ground, which is pretty bad, but he didn't seem too shook up by it. He could be in Mexico for so long at this point that he's unbreakable like the rest of my luchadors. But Ray Horace did his usual big huge height somersault plancha over the ring post. They did a lot of stuff on the floor, which surprised me. They brawled in the crowd. They did sickening chair shots on each other, but not to the head, don't worry. And in the ring, they did a bunch of cool stiff shots, forearm shots, kicks, near falls with the cradle off the top rope by Ray Horace, German suplex by Kamaitachi, which actually led to the finish, where Kamaitachi did a bridging German suplex with a bridge and got the 1-2-3, even though I thought they were both pinned, and I thought that's what they were building up to, like an empate, a draw.
Yep. That's what it looked like to me, at least from my vantage point, too.
But then the ref just raised Kamaitachi's hand, and a lot of the crowd was chanting that they want a rematch or one more fall, that it wasn't fair. I'm not sure if that's what they were trying to set up, but that's what it looked like.
And maybe they wanted to protect both guys with the finish, but they didn't want to actually, they wanted to do a finish.
I was surprised Kamaitachi went over. I thought Ray Horace was going over.
Yeah, maybe it's a CML call or something.
He's coming back. Did you see the lineup for the next Shilanga match though?
I saw that the one in Oaxaca, which is, you know, a different thing, but Ray Horace was back on that show.
Guerrero's working Pagano on that show. Yeah. It's a three-way. I forget the other guy. It's Tony Cisneros, the guy who
promotes. Yes. So that's going to be interesting. I saw the show look it up. My man Kamatachi won that match, fair and square.
Yeah, if you say so. That's what Arisa said, but I think Arisa's a little biased.
Yeah.
These guys got some money, now that I think about it, but it wasn't like the ring was showered, because as soon as the match ended, everybody seemed to get up like they were on their way. Mm-hmm. We were on our way to Arena Naucalpan, but I wanted to take pictures with both guys, so we hung out for a bit.
Yeah.
I got to talk to Ray Horace. Well, I mean, Rude, what were your thoughts on the match?
It was a wild match, and I think this is my favorite match of the night. I keep saying night. I'm thinking it wasn't even night when it wasn't even... we saw a second show, but it was my favorite match of this day, and favorite match of the show. And I came to the conclusion that if ever Dragon Lee and Kamaitachi ever do somehow meet in Kosei Okorokako, that will be the death of them.
Yeah. Unsafe. I would never book that.
Yeah.
Don't book that. Cecilia?
I was, you know, the show, it was good, but it got even better with this match. And I just got offended. I'm going to say something. It has to do not with the match, but I think it interfered with the match. Mm-hmm. First of all, the crowd in Coacalco is very loud, and they have different porras, so they sit down in different places of the venue. But the problem is, like, they got into their fight, you know, word fight in the middle of the match, which I think was disrespectful. But, you know, another person, you know, Mama Lucha, probably the people in the podcast have heard about her.
Yeah.
She, you know, went into the ring while the luchadores were having their match, which I think is the utmost disrespectful thing you can do.
Yeah.
And she stayed there for a good, like, 2 minutes or so. And she only went down when they went out.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, you know, that's a no-no. Yeah. And she should be told by somebody, like, that's not, you know, not only unsafe, but it's like, this is not, you know. You can be a fan, you can be loud, you can be, like lots of things. But this is a match ongoing, and they are doing and trying unsafe things.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't want to be in the way and distract them.
You don't really know where they're going next, and she didn't know that they could have come right back in the ring at any moment, and she would have been in the way.
I think Cecilia just joined Shoot Week.
Yeah.
Those are some strong opinions.
Yeah, and then
I agree with both points 100%. Do not get in the ring during a match. I don't care if you're trying to get out of the way. And I think the fact that the crowd was completely drunk helped to the fact that they were both yelling at each other.
Yeah.
The wrestlers, to the credit, I mean, we're shitting all over that, but to their credit, the wrestlers didn't seem too bothered.
Yeah.
They kept going and had a great match. I think my order of matches on this show would be, best to worst, would be Ray Horace, Kamaitachi first, Guerrero, Kaifan second, Ultimo Ninja, Aramis, Garabo Punk third, Hechicero Ultimo Ninja, Cerebro, Sangre Azteca, and Fuego Solar. But reverse, when you talk about my favorite, not what I think the best, when I think my favorite, I put Aramis in the number two spot, right under Ray Horace, Kamaitachi.
Okay.
Another 4-star match, huh, Cubs?
Yeah. Takamatachi's big run of them this year. He's clearly a better candidate than some other people, but will not get any votes.
Overall impressions? Great show?
Yeah, great show. The main event, I was thinking was going to be worth the price, and it was, but there were other, but I agree with your order. I think if this show is made available, I would definitely seek out the main event and the Ultimo Guerrero Kapan match and the opener.
I don't think anybody filmed the opener.
That's just,
I mean, I got my clips, but I don't think anybody who films full matches was filming it.
Go build a time machine and go buy a ticket, because there were tickets left. And
well, Masucha TV was filming.
Yeah.
You never know.
They made your clips. You never know.
Thank you very much to Chilango Mask for running that show.
Yeah. Did you guys have any other thoughts about the show?
It's probably the strongest. It's probably the most consistent Chilanga, from top to bottom, most consistent Chilanga match show I've seen this year. Because I went to the anniversary. I went to July 19th. I'm still finishing up August 16th, but I'm pretty sure I won't like the Pagano match.
Was that Chisero?
August 16th.
August 16th. But I should congratulate you publicly on the podcast. Randy and Cecilia both walked out of the show when it was Pagano and Hechicero. Did you guys leave
for... No, it was Pagano versus... That we weren't there for that one. That was in July. There's
Pagano versus...
It was Pagano versus Masada.
Everybody should have walked out on that.
Yeah.
That's not my style. What can I say?
Yeah. But this one was... Where the worst match was... okay, but... And there's only one of them. And it started strong and it was a really great show. Enjoyed it a lot.
And from there, we got on our horses and we rushed over to Arena Naucalpan.
Yeah, we missed like maybe only the first 2 minutes of the match.
I thought we joined way later than we actually did.
And if Rob was quicker getting photos, we would have made the time.
But who did I take pictures with?
Ray Horse.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny because certain parts of our group were really hurting to get out of there. Other parts were like, I want to get photos with everyone as soon as I can.
He was not wearing Master Public gear. Reported.
Yeah. So this was a normal Sunday show in IWRG with nothing too extraordinary, but they were some good matches, I thought.
Small crowd, though.
Small crowd. Yeah, we had plenty of room. We had other people who got cheaper tickets found ways to move down and join us during the show.
Yeah.
So it was not a big turnout, but they seemed to be decently in the show for the people who were there. The opener ended up being Muerte Infernal and Alpha versus Atomic Star and Ram. The Muerte Infernal and Alpha team was Tecnico Rudo, and they were both replacements, so they did not get along throughout the match. And Muerte Infernal ended up attacking his partner after they did the predictable loss. The match was just kind of okay. Do you remember?
I don't remember much. I know the Code Red was the finish of the second fall. Third fall was kind of messed up finish. And then they ended up regrouping. I mean, this is an opener. There's nothing too special. Crowd still filing in. What else can you say?
Nothing, apparently.
Nothing. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I mean, it was a match.
It's kind of hard to remember the match you see after Ray Horse versus Kamaitachi.
We were still settling in anyways. We were just kept getting confused because every time a fall ended, we thought we came so late that it was the end of the match, and then they just kept going. Yeah. So for all we know, they could have done the first ever 5-fall match.
Yeah. I think we would have maybe picked up on that, but I'm not sure. The second match was the Ninja Turtles, Mike, Greffy, and Leo, the mysterious Leo, versus Hip Hop Man, Super Jack, dressed it as Tortuga Mike.
I did not understand that. What's the deal?
He's done that on the indies before. So it's nothing done with IWRG. They just thought it would be funny.
But he's so awful. He made like the turtles look bad.
Yeah, but they got to do the comedy where the turtles didn't know which Mike was theirs. Mm-hmm. Even though they look nothing alike.
They look nothing alike, yeah.
And then Impossible Belay was supposed to be on the Rudo team. But he apparently got taken out by a Leo dive at the beginning of the match. I didn't see exactly what dive.
I didn't see it either.
And possibly never got to his feet and was never seen again.
I didn't see the doctor run over or anything.
No, I don't know if he's just like, I got 2 minutes and I gotta go or something. But it was a very bizarre situation.
And strangely, they didn't send out a replacement like they did last month when I was there for the rookie show.
No,
someone got hurt.
I saw Muerte Infernal watching the second fall. I thought, well, okay, maybe I'll join in the third fall. But there was no third fall. The Tortugas took the first and second falls.
They did some comedy with the shell where they slammed the turtle.
Yeah.
And then they realized it's not going to hurt him because he's got a shell on. So he took the shell off.
Yeah.
And then he acted like he was naked. And then they slammed him and powerbombed him.
This went a ways, even though it was only 2 falls and even though it was 2-on-3 for most of it. I mean, that first fall went pretty quick, and then they went the second fall. Lasted a while as if they were trying to make up the time, even though they weren't going 3 falls. It was not the best Tortuga match because the weird situation, but
It was the best Tortugas match because I got a picture with them.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think at one point they tied maybe Raffy to the ropes.
Raffy, yeah.
Using one of Super Jack's knee bandanas thingies.
Mm-hmm.
And he got loose in the technical spawn, and that was all there was to it.
When that's the highlight of the match, you kind of...
That's all you need to know.
I was kind of disappointed because I expected, like, we saw in Coliseo Coacalco, like, anytime a Tortuga Ninja is on his back,
yeah,
he's supposed to be doing this, like, mm-hmm, he cannot, you know, turn, yeah, by himself. And they didn't do that in this match. Yeah. So I was like, like, these Tortugas have been, you know, doing gymnastics, or what's going on?
Yeah. This was a toned-down Turtles match.
Yeah. The third match, I think we agree with, we probably agree is the best match on the show. It was...
No.
Oh, no, I'm looking at the wrong match. Okay, we don't agree. No, it was Official Rayearn of the Commando Elite. It was Golpidor, and it was Apollo Estrada Jr. versus Black Terry, Freelance, and Suicide. Yeah, this was kind of... You expected a bigger show from Freelance and Suicide, and they were good, but they weren't... They didn't make it into the crowd at any point. They didn't get to... They didn't have...
Yeah, Freelance ended up in the crowd.
Did?
A side moonsault.
Oh, that's right. It was on the different side. Apollo bled early, and he feared with Black Terry a lot in this match, but somehow this ended with Golpidor beating Black Terry.
Don't get that.
It's like, maybe that was the finish that they had, but they kind of decided to... Black Terry decided to work with a much better guy the rest of the whole match, because... Golpidor didn't look awful, but we didn't really see much out of him. I could have forgotten he was in the match most of the time.
Well, they set up the two matches for next week at the end of the main event, so maybe they are doing Black Terry versus Apollo, but it's like a slow build.
Yeah.
So they don't want to get to the challenges already by having to finish with them. Freelance was good. He did all his usual moves. He tried the move where the Mystico 2 copies now, where the Rudos are doing the old Kayentai DX thing, where one guy is on the back of both his partners, and then Freelance does a springboard Frankensteiner, but he kind of missed on it and almost landed on his head.
Yeah.
He recovered, though. That's where they did the double dive spot, and then Golpidor cleanly pinned Black Terry with the powerbomb.
Yeah.
It was a good match. Apollo got busted open early on by... He started brawling with Black Terry, and they looked like they were throwing legit punches at each other, so that's probably what opened him up in the first place, because it clearly wasn't a blade job based on where he was bleeding from and how he was bleeding.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, and it means like he messed with the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Don't mess with Black Terry, senior or junior.
Yeah. the other thing I noticed is when Black Terry and Apollo Star Jr. were exchanging chops, one of Black Terry's chops destroyed Apollo Star Jr.'s singlet.
Oh, yeah, his whole shirt came off.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
And there were no girl shrieking in Mexico.
No.
Like, no.
No.
The fourth match was Shirel Guerrero, Arturo, and Candice Lupus. Yeah, that's right. Versus Diva Salvage, Relampico, and Golden Magic. This one, and somewhere near the end of the first fall, Golden Magic got cut badly. I don't even know exactly what happened, but I think
his head's bonking at some point. I don't know how it happened, but their heads bonked.
And he bled. He was bleeding for the whole match. It was like his corner was just covered in blood, but it just kept bleeding out.
It was like a bad nosebleed, and then also I think his forehead from the headbutts.
Yeah.
He could have been planning to do a blade job, but at the same time also got busted open by the nose. That's why so much blood was leaking out.
They never really checked on him, but you could tell that the promoter said something to the referee before a third fall, who passed on some message. So I don't know if they changed the finish or if they wanted him to be careful or something.
Or if he needed help or something.
He looked
fine. He was selling it good.
He was selling it good. It added to the drama of the match.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was not as spectacular, I think, as... And Lucha Boom, but I think he had another good match.
Good baby face fire. Getting the crowd behind him. Timing the comeback right. Diva Salvaje did the usual gay spots, which the crowd loved. At one point, he was like arguing with the referee, and he said that the referee is gayer than he is. The crowd really liked that. Relampago did his usual stuff. He actually did a cool spot in the first fall. He does that spot where he runs and does a twist into a Frankensteiner. And he did that on the floor with Candice Lupus. Eterno was good, charismatic as usual. He did the Styles Clash spot to finish the second fall. And most of the match was centered around Golden Magic and Canis Lupus feuding. So, of course, it came down to them. Golden Magic did a Frankensteiner, Super Frankensteiner, got a two count. And then I thought that meant that Canis Lupus was going to get up and beat him. But instead, Golden Magic just put him in a submission, a cool little torture rack variation submission, and got the win. And they threw a lot of money into the ring.
Yeah.
Including one gentleman who was just waving a bunch of $200 bills, ended up being 600 pesos, I think. And Eterno caught a glimpse of him and went to get the money, and the guy didn't want to give it to him because he thought he was going to do the usual Rudo move where he runs away with the money. But eventually he gave it to him, and Eterno thanked him over the mic. But then he turned heel, or Rudo, at the end of the promo, like usual. But they got a lot of money, and they deserved it. It was a really good match. The kind of match you're not going to see in most other places because of the whole blood thing.
I think they did a Chaos Lupus Golden Magic match versus match stage, which just seemed more like taking advantage of the occasion of the situation of them doing the blood than it's actually happening.
Or maybe they're doing something, because Supernova and Golden Magic had the same mask challenge.
Yeah, but I think
they just have their Halloween thing coming up.
But yeah, maybe they'll all be in the cage match, but they're none of those guys are
going to probably mask. Like Factor or Ryan or something like that.
Yeah, Ryan's back, or the arena. Him being in here suddenly, it kind of sticks out.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any thoughts on the match, or?
I was mad at Candice for being such a bad guy.
You should have gone and touched the mat afterwards with all that blood.
No.
They were mopping it up afterwards.
Yeah, but they were mopping it and like pushing it towards like the outside of the ring where the fans were sitting.
Yeah.
Namely us.
Yeah.
Keep that shit away from me. Main event was...
It was the Traumas and Negro Navarro versus Danny Casas, Veneno, and Heidi Corral. And it was... I don't know if I was just losing steam at that match point or if the match wasn't any good. It wasn't, like, bad, but it was just not much going forward.
Pretty dull, I mean. I like the mat work. The mat work is fine and all, but...
Heidi's role, since he does MMA... As, I don't know if that's his primary or Lucha's primary, is to be the real fighter who's going against the Traumas and Navarro or fight like they are real fighters.
But as a real fighter, all this stuff is so soft.
Yeah, it's not like they're doing like UWF shoot style stuff here. They're just doing a match with people. We're supposed to, I'm not even sure if the crowd knows that Carrera does MMA. He's just a guy in weird shorts.
Yeah. What happened to his old buddy, Naruto?
Well, he was called, instead of being called by his name, he was called, like, Chedraui. It's the French supermarket.
Yeah.
It was fun.
The highlight of this match occurred before the match actually started. We got Veneno to come over and bless Cecilia.
Yeah. Who had no idea
what... If you ever go to Reina and El Copa, you need to get blessed by Veneno.
Nah. You don't know what his blessings do. They could leave you like Rob. That would be just bad news.
What? I'm a perfectly fine human being. I've been tested.
That's why I kept, signaling. It was supposed to be his annual blessing.
Yeah.
You know, something went wrong there.
So maybe they'll just fall apart.
Something definitely went wrong there with me, yes. You are correct.
Maybe he'll be back sometime this week and have a chance for that to take care of itself.
Yes.
So, the Rudos, I'm not even sure... IWRG main event, who was supposed to be Technicos, who was supposed to be Rudos. I think the Veneno and Danny Casa side were the Rudos in the match.
I think so, because they did a lot of Rudo stuff. And they cheated to win.
But they, at no point have they ever turned. They're just showed up. And it's not like Veneno was playing evil guy.
And Navarro and the Traumas just flip every show, depending on who their opponents are.
Yeah, so the...
Hey, we never even mentioned when we were on our way to the arena. We saw Trauma in the store buying something in the Oxxo while wearing his mask.
Yes.
I should think that's like the ultimate Lucha picture right there.
Yeah. They got a lot of people, they get the arena with their mask on, so people don't know. So, or they leave, as we saw Golden Magic, after pretty much everyone had left, was still had his mask on while he was getting into his car.
And waved bye to us while he was driving in his mask.
Yeah. The Veneno team won. I think it was Karai who beat Navarro, because that's the challenge of the match they set up for next week. To find out which wrestling is better, French versus Mexico, to sell it all.
He did the corner sunset flip reversal spot where the heel ends up on top, holding the ropes. The ref can't see.
The very technical move. That's the MMA move. I think you see that all the time in Bellator.
I think we set up next week Negro Navarro versus Karui.
Yeah.
Do they have some title?
No.
He doesn't have like a...
He doesn't have the... Solar has the title right now, I think.
And then the tag titles, Traumas defending against Veneno and Danny Casas.
Which confused me because they came down with like the trio styles, I thought.
Didn't they just have the tag titles switch hands in the cage match on the 16th?
Yeah, so I don't know why they just were those belts if that match was actually happening.
Maybe there's some other titles we don't know about.
Yeah, that's right. Because Apollo. Yeah, good point. So yeah, Apollo, the Gringos are tag team champions. So I don't know what happened there.
Anyways, that's what they set up for next Sunday.
That's what they tease for next Sunday. When we see the poster, we'll know. It's not like CML, who had their lineup for next week before they actually had this week's show in Boxy Lucha.
Should be an interactive fan poll. We just gave them the IWG main event. Now you give them the CMLL show, and then whoever's listening can reply and tell us which show we should go to. Well, not you, but me, Randy, and Cecilia.
Well, the CMLL show right now will be La Mascara, Marco Corleone, and Super Porky versus Mission Niebla, Negro Casas, and Thunder, which is...
No offense, Marco, we're going IWRG.
Yeah, that's not very good. There's some good stuff underneath, especially the Guerrero Mayo, Esfing Fugo versus Puma Tiger and Kamatiuchi match, but... That main event is troubling. What did you guys think of the IWRG show overall?
It was a show. It's kind of like I was definitely there's some parts of it. There's some fun spots in it, but definitely pilled a lot in comparison to the first show we saw today. It's a longer match though, so it was, and plus it can't. I was getting hungry by the end of it, so I was like, main event's dragging.
What do you guys, did you think, which one would you say better, the Lucha 3 Rated Boom show or the IWRG show?
IWRG. Wasn't it five different fog balls?
Yeah.
So, which you could, it was much more focused. It felt like much more of a professional show that, for its blandness, was actually, you know, a show that seemed, well, you know, like it was actually...
It was more professional than the Boom Show.
Yeah, okay, I was trying to figure out a nice way of saying that, but,
To me, it was very interesting to see, you know, all three shows were in Mexico City. Yeah, I'm sorry. In the state of Mexico, with state of Mexico crowds, but they are different. You know, the people were different in the Lucha Boom, in the Coacalco and IWRG. So it's kind of like, it's interesting to see how they all react to the matches.
I've been to Nau Cup on 5 times now, I think, and this is probably the weakest of all the Nau Cup on shows I've been to. But saying that, the crowd really loved it because it's very much a crowd that goes every week.
Yeah.
So they know the characters and they like following their favorite wrestlers every week just to see what's going to happen next. So it's a good arena. I just like being in there.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. Good seats. The beer's good.
Huh. And how about the quesadillas?
The quesadillas after we had outside after with the show at El Jeque's place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His wife makes some amazing quesadillas. We're going back on Wednesday for the IWRG Retro Show. If Chris Zellner's listening to this, he'll be happy. All the characters we've loved from the 90s will be back for one night only. Yeah. And we'll be sitting in the first row. Looking forward to seeing that show.
Yeah. So, I don't think we have anything else to talk about.
Saturday Coliseo lineup. We're going to end up going to that show.
Yeah.
First, we're going to a free show that we found out is happening. And it's going to be like, it's like a private show. It's going to have a lot of the CMLL guys. I think 12 CMLL, no, 14, because it said Shocker versus Techicero, and then 12 other CMLL wrestlers.
Which sounds like it's going to be all singles matches, which is going to be strange.
Very strange. Someone mentioned to us, forget who.
Casasolo, the doctor.
Yeah.
That it's going to be singles matches, which will be interesting, because then we're going to Coliseo afterwards, which is going to have more singles matches. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the Coliseo show, because it's going to have Magnus, the highest he's ever been on a show, on the fourth match against Sangre Azteca, don't think Sangre Azteca is taking the Spanish fly to the floor, but I'm pretty sure Magnus will be working hard, especially with us in attendance. Mm. The opener could be okay because it's Fantasy versus Mercurio, and normally that would suck, but every time Alexis puts up pictures of these Saturday shows, guys who suck are doing stuff that you never see them do.
So maybe Sangre Azteca will take his pitch.
No chance. I will put money on that. He's not taking that pitch. And the fifth singles match is Stigma versus Virus. And if you've ever seen a Virus singles match, you know they never disappoint. Especially now they'll have no time limit, so you won't have to work in a structured lightning match formula. The semi-main looks good too. Triton and I think Fuego against Bobby Zavala and Okamura. So it's like you get to Triton versus Okamura one more time.
Yeah.
Just adding. And then the main event is Místico, Titan, and Stuka, I think, against Pólvora, Mephisto, and Hefesto. So overall, a solid lineup. But yeah. I'm excited for my first ever Sabaro retro show. Just to see what it's like. No music, no lights. No Huaracanes, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, when Cecilia and I were here in July, we got to see half, like the last three matches of a closed sales show, only one, which was a singles match. So it'll be fun seeing an entire show. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Plus the Coliseo arena is very nice. I like it very much.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll have no problem getting front row seats. Anything else?
No. We're planning on going to Arena Pueblo tomorrow, but I think because we expect to get back very late, I'm not sure if we're doing another podcast, actually.
Probably not.
So this is probably the last podcast of the trip.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you all for listening. I'll let you know if there's ever another podcast. I probably won't let you know. We'll probably just show up randomly. But
Who knows? Because at Now Calpan today, you were threatening to just disappear forever off the internet.
Yeah.
And never be found again.
That's not a threat. That's a promise. But
all right.
Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. Oh, yeah, the other thing I have to say, speaking of things not showing up on the internet, I won't have the video post up on Tuesday because I don't have access to my computer until I get home, and that won't be till late Tuesday. So we'll see what actually recorded, which I know AAA recorded. I know I was looking at C3 recording when my connection went dead, and I haven't seen my computer at home yet. So, we'll find out what happened. Well, I know we have some people recording that match, so we'll probably show up, but just probably not as quick. Probably might be a little bit while. So.
And since this is the last podcast, and Cubs isn't really a bragger, I'll brag for him. He's been inundated, and I mean inundated, with people, wrestlers here, fans from Mexico, fans from Japan, telling him how much the blog means to them. They check it all the time. Some people actually wait up and don't go to bed until the news post is up so they can see what's going on.
Those are crazy people.
And they say it's an invaluable resource to them. One of the wrestlers was even commenting that he's so happy because he gets more exposure and his friends get more exposure when they wrestle because the video gets posted and people are watching. And they're so happy that there's a website that covers Lucha Libre in a straightforward manner. No biases to any side, even though some people will claim it has biases. So I just want to put that out there, because I know he'll never put that out there, and he'll say nobody reads the website, which is completely not. Just like he says, nobody listens to the podcast, but I know somebody's listening.
Okay, A, nobody listens to the podcast. B, I think the weird thing is that in the U.S., if you're a person in the U.S., you probably know me either on Twitter main first or on the website. But I think in Mexico, it's more I'm a YouTube person. And I get more people following me on YouTube than any of those other things, I'm sure. So I guess I got to keep paying for the AYM subscription even when it's not working.
But there are people who said like they follow the result. They need no lineups that they're on.
And D, sample size. I think we had sample size issues.
Like I said, Cubs isn't a bragger. So you can believe him or you can believe me. And Friday, what was the name of the podcast again?
¿Cómo estás?
No, Rob was right.
Yeah, that was a one-time occasion.
If you say so, buddy. Yeah. If you say so.
So that's all we have for now.
Watch for us on Puebla. Watch Cubs hide his face all night.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah, if someone's got the knack of picking the seats there directly in front of the camera,
right across from the hard cam. It's almost like they plan it this way.
If you ever, you'll know that I'm buying the tickets when they all turn out to be like the fifth row behind some really tall people.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, then that might be us in Puebla, because I don't think we're getting first row in Puebla unless somebody is hiding something from us and is giving it us to us as a present.
Yeah. We need to thank Black Terry Jr. for chaperoning us around, and even though I'm sure he has better things to do, he enjoyed it.
We're done with him until Wednesday.
Yeah,
but that means you didn't even say bye. That's the last time you're gonna get to see
him. I did say bye.
Oh, okay.
You didn't pay attention, but I realized I said bye to him. I said bye to Arissa. I don't think Arissa realized I wasn't gonna see her, but that's going to be her loss.
This is actually gonna be tomorrow's gonna be the first day in my entire travels to Mexico where I won't be seeing Black Terry Jr.
Yeah.
Because
every other time I've been here, four times or whatever, I've seen him every day. At least once for something.
So thanks to Black Terry Jr. Thanks to Jose Manuel Guillen for not only being on the podcast, but for driving us to the DTU show. And thanks to Alexa Salazar for, in the future, driving us to the Pueblo show.
And hooking us up with great tickets for the anniversary
show. And then thanks to other people whose names we probably shouldn't mention who were helpful.
Thanks to Chilanga Mass, Cara Lucha, DTU, Lucha Boom, for all the shows, IWRG.
Yeah. I think that's it. I can't think of anything else to say. I'm hoping this cold clears up at some point or whatever this is at this point.
Don't be sick. Don't get me sick.
Yeah. Maybe if I'm sick, I'm not going to Bubba. We have to think about that. That's the cliffhanger we're going to leave you on.
You're going to stay here and watch us on the YouTube stream.
Yeah, I'm just going to lay it out.
We go, because somebody's going to ask you this.
I'm going to go to Domino's. I'll clear
it up on the podcast.
Yes.
Is A Rain in Mexico This Friday airing anywhere?
That's a setup question. I have no idea. The story they told us is it was only going to be for four. No, the story Jonica told us, because they never actually told us this, was it's only going to be up to the iPay-per-view week, and then that would be iPay-per-view, which, if you're on the beautiful CML mailing list, you find out that they're living in complete denial, that only a few people saw it, and they were master hackers who somehow got to the YouTube screen. So the upside is that means they're probably going to try to do it again, and it's probably going to be free for a lot of people again.
I don't think anybody's buying it if they try that same format again, now that they know that somebody's got to buy it just to get the link.
I will buy it, but I probably won't give out the link. But
so somebody else has to buy it. Who is going to give out the link?
You know, the thing
I'm going to buy it and not give out the link.
I would do the same.
But I'm sure if you search Twitter by the time that goes up, you will have no problem finding the link.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Somebody, what it'll do is it'll just get like the hardcore of the hardcores to buy it. Like, it's already only the hardcores who are buying, but the hardcore of the hardcores will buy it. Maybe like, let's say 20, 25 people, and a couple of them will give out the link. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I think CMLL should be preventing this by doing it a different way. But I will say, because Alan on Twitter, Alan Jolson brought it up, that some people are actually asking for refunds.
Yes.
I think that's completely wrong. You are not entitled to a refund because all you paid for was a link to the show, and they provided you with the link. The fact that other people didn't pay and got the link doesn't mean that you deserve your money back, and you got the show exactly how you wanted to see the show. I don't see why you deserve a refund just because other people are stealing the show.
No.
That's like asking WWE for a refund because people torrent their stuff. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right?
You just have to know going to the next one that might happen again and choose your purchasing option.
Sure. Everybody knew that it was going to be on YouTube somehow afterwards. Even if it was a private link, somebody would have reposted the show.
Yeah.
Would you have asked for a refund then too?
Yeah.
So listen, live with it. And don't discourage CMLL by asking for refunds because they don't even understand that their show got stolen in the first place. You're not going to get a refund. It'll just make you more frustrated in the end.
So they must not even realize how many people viewed that show. Because otherwise they would
They know that the hackers, right? Because they know that they know how many people paid for it, and they saw how many views there were.
I'm not sure they saw how many views there were.
Really? Because he said there were, in the email he sent to you, he said there were some people who hacked it.
Yeah, but I don't think they realized the scope, the amount of people.
Maybe we'll tell Alexis tomorrow.
Yeah, we may ask questions and see if we get any answers. But we'll
name names. All the people who stole the link. I'm keeping a list.
But that's it for today.
Yes.
I'm going to stop talking like it's December and my nose is all clogged up. Thank you guys for participating. Thank you guys for forcing me to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you again at sometime that's not never. I don't know. Thanks for listening. Bye.